Remember what those are? Does anybody remember the references? Very good. Thank you. I hope everybody's working on those. Remember I said if you say them five times in the morning, five times at night, that by the end of the week you should have them pretty well in your memory banks, right? And be able to call them up when you need them. But please keep working on those. If you work on those until we get through this series, you should have them pretty well written on your brain so that you can refer to them often. The Lord will bring them to your mind. So we've talked about in this series on Love Your Church, we've looked at belonging, we've looked at welcoming, gathering, and then last week we looked at caring. And this week we're going to consider the importance of serving one another in the local church. But we're going to begin by realizing, first of all, that we cannot serve Christ or each other in our own power. So when we talk about serving, we're talking about doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit and the work that the Lord does in our hearts. I have a three-part outline, and number one is the power for service. We're going to look at that. Then we're going to look at the practice of service. And then number three, the promise of service. So let's jump right in here to number one, the power for service. So we can go through the motions of serving one another, just as lost people serve each other, right? I mean, as lost people serve others, we can serve others, but we can do it without the power of God behind it. And the service that lost people do does not have God's power behind it. Therefore, it's of no benefit to anybody, really. It helps that person they're helping, but it doesn't benefit beyond that. And if our service is not motivated by our love for the Lord and by the grace that He gives, then our service will be useless. It'll be worthless. It'll be like candy, you know. It's like a body needs nourishment, right? And we get our nourishment from the Holy Spirit, from the Word of God. But if our body is only eating candy, then, you know, we're not going to benefit from it. And service that isn't empowered by God is like candy to our spiritual body. It does no good from us. So where do spiritual gifts and the power for service come from then? They come from God as a gift empowered by His grace. And you're going to see that in a number of the verses that we look at. Our gifts to serve God come from Him, empowered by His grace. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, first reference we'll look at. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7. Ephesians 3, verse 7. Paul wrote this epistle from prison, we know that. And I want you to see what he says here. He says in verse 7, "Whereof I was made a minister or a servant, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power." That's the secret right there. I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me for the effectual working of His power. Paul was given a gift by the grace of God. It was not merited or earned on his part, and he freely admits that he is less than the least of all the saints and very undeserving of this gift of ministry or service to the Gentiles. Look at verse 8. "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." through no power of his own. Paul, in his own person, was probably a pretty powerful person, all right, until the Lord humbled him, where we see later on, he says to the church, you know, I am nothing. I come to you weak and only in the power of the gospel. But before he got saved, he was a powerful man. He was chasing down Christians and dragging them out of churches and standing by as they're murdered. But he says now that I'm less than the least of all saints. And I don't deserve this ministry, this service that God has given me. All right? Peter. Excuse me. Peter says in 1 Peter 4:10, let's turn there. 1 Peter 4:10. First Peter 4:10. And Peter says here, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister or serve the same one to another. Minister your gift to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There you see the word gift and the word grace of God together in a sentence, in a verse, even as Paul used those together. And then back to Paul in Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans chapter 12, please. And we're going to spend some time in Romans 12 this morning, but before we do that, let's take a quick look at verse 6 through 8. Romans 12, 6 through 8. Romans 12, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So we see that Peter and Paul both agree on this fact that gifts are given by the grace of God, and that's where the power comes for us to use the gifts that God gives us. But that grace that provided the gift also provides the power to succeed in the use of the gift according to the amount of grace, is what Paul and Peter said here. This is not success on the world's terms, where through our efforts we obtain or earn power, prestige, or prosperity. It is success in God's terms, and that's very important that we understand that. We measure success differently than God does, okay? We measure by what we see on the outward. We see how successful somebody is, right? And we gauge, you know, their devotion to that cause or whatever it might be, that devotion to that business. We see their power and prestige and prosperity grow, but in God's work, that's not necessarily the case. Again, referring back to Paul, he started out, before he was saved, he was a powerful man. People respected him, all right? He was a very prominent Pharisee, and no doubt had a lot of wealth attached to that. But the more he served Christ, look what happened to him. He ends up being basically a prisoner in jail. He's beaten up, his body's weak in body, weak in voice. He declares that himself in his letters. To our eyes, Paul is a failure. You know, he has nothing about him to testify to his success except for the souls of the people that he touched with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to be careful that we don't judge one another's gifts by that, you know, the success that we can see, those things that we can see and say, yeah, that person's successful. You know, the pastor has a church with a large number of people. You know, we say, wow, he's a successful pastor. But he may be, inside, he might be very weak. You know, it's God's doing. A pastor might have a church with only a few people. But in God's eyes, he can be just as powerful as Paul was in his ministry. So, visible success or worldly success and godly success are two totally opposite things, aren't they? They're two totally different things. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look back at Ephesians in chapter 4. So keep those things in mind as we look at these passages, that the power for service comes through the grace of God. Ephesians 4, 1 through 7. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Now that phrase there, worthy of the vocation, I believe refers to your spiritual walk, your spiritual gifts, not your daily vacation, what you do to earn a living. Walk worthy of the vocation as a servant of Christ, wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us, listen to this, is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So we are given gifts by grace, and that proportion of grace that God gives us is a proportion of power that we have to exercise our gifts. So what does this mean to us in practical terms? So number two in our outline is the practice of service. So we have the power for service and the practice of service. Look at Romans 12 again. Back to Romans 12. Got you going back and forth here, but we're going to settle in on Romans here for a few minutes. Romans chapter 12. And what I want to do is read through verses 1 through 13. Romans 1 through 13. And I'll stop from time to time to point something out as I read through this. So please follow along with me, if you will. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, now, in parentheses, not in our own power, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let me get a drink here. So this is where the practice of service starts. We all have the grace power to do this, to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. It's our reasonable service. And that's why he calls it reasonable. It's something that, with the power of God, we can do. We all can do. All right? Let's go on. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, which is the work of the Spirit through the Word of God in our lives. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, and when he says that, the grace given unto me, that's his gift of ministry that we read about, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So God deals us measures, of faith, of grace, of power to exercise our gifts. We mustn't compare ourselves among one another as having more or less grace for our gifts, okay? So if you know, another Christian isn't where you are in exercising your gift, you shouldn't judge them on that basis. God gives grace and power through that grace to exercise different gifts in each of us to create a balance, all right? For as we have many members, I'm on verse 4, in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. God has given different gifts to make up a whole body. Let's turn quickly over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 kind of is a break here in our look at Romans 12. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll read verses 14 through 20. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 20. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, and this is what Paul is talking about in Romans 12. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now if God set the members, every one of them, that's you, in the body as it hath pleased him. He has set us in this body as it hath pleased him and gifted us with grace and power to perform the works he gives us. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, but yet but one body. So back to Romans chapter 12, if you will. I'm making you do a lot of work this morning. Romans chapter 12. And I'll read verse 4 again and then go into verse 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And that's, he repeats that in 1 Corinthians 12. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, ministering, which is, Paul said, was his gift. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation or dishonesty. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Now I want you to notice that he continues here. I think quite often we stop at verse 8. In thinking about gifts, God's gifts to us as a body. But Paul doesn't make a distinction there. He continues in the same line of thought. So let's see what he says here in verse 12. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. I think he's continuing to talk about gifts that God gives to the church. Verse 11, not slothful in business. Again, the Lord's business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Verse 12, rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to the necessity of saints. Given to hospitality. So you see that there appear to be more gifts than just the typical list of gifts that we think of as spiritual gifts. But all of these are service gifts for service to one another in the church and to fill up the body of Christ or to make the body of Christ, you know, strong and fully capable, all right? So he doesn't have an arm that's hanging limp. All of his limbs are full and everything is working properly, even down to his feet, all right? Some of us are the feet of this church. One or two of us might be the big toe, okay? But really, think about it. I mean, is a big toe important? Of course it is. I think that's what Paul was saying. We consider some parts of the body of Christ, some parts of our body, to be less glamorous or less important. But if you're a big toe, you're keeping the body of Christ upright and moving forward, right? I mean, I think that's what Paul is saying. You know, he's talking about a body, a human body, and comparing it to the body of Christ. You know, somebody's got to be the thumb. Somebody's got to be the little finger. Somebody's got to be one of the ears. That's how we're made up. We are a body. And Paul uses that imagery over and over again, not just once. He uses it over and over again throughout the epistles. All right? So it's important to think about that. You know, what part of the body am I? If you're born again, you're here this morning, you are some part of the body of Christ. And you have gifts given to you by the grace of God, and you have power through God's grace to exercise your gifts. All right? And you need to be doing that. Now, what are those gifts? We just read a long list in Romans chapter 12. Read it again on your own and think about yourself. Consider yourself. Where is my strength? Where is my gift? Now, it doesn't have to be one gift. You know, it talks about giving. Maybe you're a very generous giver. Maybe you give to the church. Maybe you give to others. All right? That's a gift given to you by God and empowered, and you are empowered by God's grace to be that kind of giver. Maybe you're the kind of person that can walk up to someone, put your arm around them, and comfort them, and talk to them, and draw them out of themselves. That's a gift given to you by God for the benefit of this church. And each one of us has gifts. Maybe it's being patient. He lists that. He says patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. That's a gift given by God. Rejoicing in hope. Not slothful in business. Not lazy in the Lord's business, but you're fervent. You have a fervent spirit to be doing things and accomplishing things for God. That's a gift that God has given to this body and to every body of his. So you see, there's more gifts than just the typical list that we think of. Sometimes we say, and I know you've heard this, or maybe you've said it yourself, I don't know what my gift is. I don't know what my gift is. Perhaps your gift is exhorting, giving, like I said, loving, preferring one another, rejoicing, patience, distributing to the necessity of saints. None of these are common in the world. They're really only practiced in the church. And they're practiced by you, by us. We all should understand that we are given gifts to serve the Lord. And not just one, necessarily. I think Paul had most of these gifts. I mean, when you look at his service, he practiced a lot of these gifts. And I think that we're in error if we think that we only are given one gift by God. That I don't have the gift of preaching. I don't have the gift of, pardon me. Pollen is getting me today. We don't think that we have one of the important gifts, so we don't have a gift. That's wrong. We need to understand we have gifts. And I think that we need to practice those gifts and allow God to empower us by his grace so that we can be a benefit to the church. We're to share our gifting with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So these are gifts of grace, just as ministry and teaching are. Thank you. Wow, what is this? Hopefully that'll help. I'm very sorry. As I said, these are the gifts of grace. Just as ministry and teaching are, all of these other things are ministries, are gifts of grace given to the church to be practiced by the individual members to fill up the body of Christ and to make it complete. All right, number three, let's look at the promise or rewards of service. The promise or rewards of service. Please turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. So we saw the power for service, the practice of service. And number three, the promise or rewards of service. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. That was mentioned in Romans 12 in that list of gifts, hospitality. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's the reason we practice our gifts, to the praise and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. Did you notice that Peter in verses 7 through 9, similar to Paul in Romans, refers to prayer, fervent charity or love, hospitality, as gifts received of God in measures of grace, verse 10. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're to use these gifts to minister to each other as stewards. But for point three, the promise of service, this is our point we're on now. We look at verse 7. Look at that quickly again. But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. This is our motivation to practice our gifts in the church among ourselves. Because the end of all things is at hand. And if Peter is saying the end of all things is at hand, imagine where we are now, right? 2,000 plus years later. The end of all things is truly at hand. Verse 13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. And that's our reward for our service among ourselves. That when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Imagine being a Christian who doesn't have time to get to church, or maybe gets to one service a week, and sitting home some Sunday morning, deciding whether, you know, Sunday school's already started, I don't know if I'm going to church today. I don't know. You know, really? I mean, they're just going to say the same things. You know, I don't really like the speaker. You know, I got people there I got problems with. Why am I going to go? I don't know. Well, what kind of a steward is that of the grace of God when Christ comes and finds you sitting at home watching TV on a Sunday morning? When you could be using your gift that God empowered you with by His grace, and you're not using it. Of course, you're all here, right? So that's great. So you can feel good about yourselves. You're not at home watching TV. That's awesome. But we do need to pray for those that are weak and do what we can to help strengthen them. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. We're talking about service, about serving. Of the Lord you shall receive the reward, for ye serve the Lord Christ. That's the ultimate purpose of our gifts, is to serve the Lord Jesus by serving one another. 1 Corinthians 3, you don't have to turn here, please. 1 Corinthians 3, 10 to 14. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, this is the power that God has given Paul, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. I don't know about you, but I much prefer a reward. I much prefer when my works are gone through the fire that there is something there of value that doesn't get burned up. And we can only earn that reward by using the gifts that God has given each of us with the power, the level of power that He's empowered us through His grace to be practicing those gifts. See, do you understand that? You say, you look at others and you say, I don't have that kind of personality. I can't be that, you know, outgoing to people. Well, the Lord probably hasn't gifted you with that level of power that someone else may have to practice your gift. But you're still required to use it, given the power that God has given you, the grace that He has given you. You have to do those things that he lists in Romans 12. Those should be part of your life. And you're not practicing them all at everybody at the same level. If we did, if we were all, you know, at the same level, we wouldn't have that balance that the Lord is building in the church. So some of us have strengths. Others are weaker in those areas, but they have strengths in other areas. And God provides that balance in our midst. And that's why it's so critical that if you're a part of this body of Christ, that you're here when we meet. Because we need that piece, that part that God has put in you, has gifted you with, to practice in our midst. And there's rewards for that work. So if we look back at Romans 12, we're not going to turn there, but we remember that list: ministering, exhorting, loving, giving, praying, rejoicing, patience, diligence, and then that list goes on from there. These are gifts given to us for the benefit and the blessing of this church. And the Lord wants us to be using them so that he can reward us for our use of the gifts that he gives us. At whatever level of power that he has given us to practice those gifts, that's what he expects of us. So please meditate on this. Read Romans 12 again, and some of these other passages, 1 Peter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. They talk about the gifts that God has given for the benefit of his body, for the strength, for the filling up of his body to the benefit of his church. Yes, Rich. Well, I think I kind of hit on that, but I think that what these scriptures teach us is that we don't each have a single gift. We have a lot of these gifts in different levels of power, of grace, given by God.
Mm-hmm. And it is very recognized in other people too. A lot of times you say, well, you seem to have the gift of giving, or the gift of prayer, or the gift of the exhortation, or the gift of comfort. I mean, 1 Corinthians 12 lists a lot of these gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Romans does too.
Right.
But something always seems to stand out more than the others. And you're right, I believe there is more than one that people have, but there's
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I think that, you know, looking at, I mean, you know, you can look at Paul and say, yes, he had the gift of ministry, right? The gift of evangelism. But he had a lot of those other gifts as well, at all at different levels, whatever that, you know, that the church needs. So, yes, like, for example, we have people that their gift is exhortation or preaching, okay? Prophesying, which means forth-telling, not necessarily foretelling. Prophesying isn't always telling the future. It's teaching the Word of God, preaching the Word of God. So we have some that can preach, all right? They have that gift and that power given by the grace of God. But quite often the average Christian doesn't have something that doesn't see that in themselves. Others may see it, or they may not. Like the gift of prayer, I think there are people that are empowered to be prayer warriors. They have that power given by God, and people don't always aren't necessarily going to see that. I understand exactly what you're saying, Rich, and I agree that some of those gifts do become prominent because God has given them that power, that level of power, that it shows up very clearly. But I'm afraid that the average... Right. Right, yeah, exactly. So, you know, I agree with what you're saying. And I'm just saying that some of those gifts are more visible than others. Like the gift of giving shouldn't be visible, okay, to the church as a whole. Because when we give, we're supposed to do it with simplicity, the Bible says, which means you don't make a big deal about it. Not everybody knows. that you have that gift, okay? But other gifts are more visible. I agree with you.